That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the things that can kill you.
Like college campuses, prancing deer, or toxic jobs.
Oh yeah, and the things that just make you wish you were dead.
Filling out tax forms, boozy job interviews,
yes.
Or hostels.
Yes, all of those are bad news bears.
You know what's not bad news bears?
Our theme song?
Let's play it.
Nice.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Goblin down, Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive. Ooh, how to survive. Ooh, how to survive.
Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Christine, how are you?
Oh, I have a heart that's racing.
Why?
I had
was it caffeine mismanagement?
Well, not yet. That's coming.
Okay.
I had a very intense experience on my way here.
Oh no, what happened?
Well, I'm going to tell you guys what happened.
Okay.
I was in my car, not putting on makeup for once, because I actually had time to do it at home.
Okay.
Listening to the special coverage of the Trump trial,
yes,
with Rachel Maddow.
Was this from last night, the one with the 2-hour thing?
Yeah, the special where it's,
yes,
like, you know, Chris,
they're all there.
Yes.
And then Lawrence O'Donnell comes in with his witticism.
With his little joke.
I love it.
And she's just at the part where she's guffawing in the crowd because she finds out about the guy that wrote everything down. The lawyer who has the name that's like Weisenberg or something.
Oh, yeah.
Heisenberg.
Andrew Weiselberg.
Weiselberg.
Yeah.
So she's guffawing and annoying people in the crowd.
Oh, this was from Monday.
Okay, so I'm a little behind.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm listening to that, driving my little car, and a deer jumps in front of my car. Like, directly in front of my car.
Was this in your driveway?
No. It was down the road from my house. So I was on the freeway, thank God. I was, you know, just in my neighborhood. But it was nuts because it wasn't like 20 feet away. It was directly.
Oh my God, looking at you with his big Bambi eyes.
Yes, like it pranced right in front of my car. You know how they like hop?
Yes.
So, you know, there's where I'm driving, there's like, you know, the houses, it's, and then there's me in my car, and then there's a, like a big thick grassy median,
okay,
in between, then there's another road. So it jumps in front of my car. I did the wrong thing. I slammed on my brakes, but I was going 25, so it felt like the right thing to do.
Wait, why is that the wrong thing?
Because you're supposed to smear the deer.
Mm-hmm. But, okay, I thought that was, okay, like in all cases, just kill the deer?
I think, if you have time to stop and no one's behind you and you're not, like, if you're on the freeway, you're supposed to smear the deer. But I think if you're in a local neighborhood, you can probably put your brakes on.
You did the right thing.
I think I did the right thing.
Wait a second. Do deers end up on freeways?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In Ohio, I mean, that's how they kill so many people. Because they kill more people than...
Oh.
I think they're like second in line after mosquitoes.
Deers are.
Yeah, I think so.
They actually kill the person or they're just... You mean cause
because
a car
of
accident.
The accident. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're not knife-wielding deers out they're, to kill...
You know what? That'd be a good horror film. Garen,
yes.
Get on that.
Well, that's the Bambi movie's coming out, so...
Is that, did that go that? Into public domain, and now they're going to mm-hmm. screw with that, too?
Oh, my God. That's so dumb.
Okay.
So the it's already... Sorry. Bananas. Garen, you already... You
is
can't...
it animated or live action?
No, it's live action.
Oh, my God.
Is he it like... roars.
What?
He roars. Bambi roars.
So dumb.
He roars.
That's okay. So dumb. And then it pranced, you know, off. Like, no big... It, I mean, it looked at me like, oh, shit. And yeah. I looked at it like, oh, shit. And then it jumped off. And then it stopped at the median and kind of looked over at me like, that was scary, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
And then she kept going. But she was a big one.
She, because it didn't have antlers?
No antlers. I mean, it could have been a boy, I guess, that was like young and didn't have them yet.
They shed their antlers sometimes, but maybe that's in winter. Don't they?
Yeah, I think you're right. They do. They
I don't know why. It's so weird. It's like shedding your whole neck.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Mid-January to mid-April.
Oh, okay. So we're in the time of shedding. So it could have been a male.
It could have been a male. It was very large deer. But what also scared me was often they travel in pairs. So I was like, oh, please, I hope another one doesn't come and slam into my car.
Yeah.
But that did not happen, luckily. But then I was like, my heart was like pounding so fast. I thought, well, I think that was my cardio.
Oh, my God.
For the day, right?
That was scary.
Do you want to hear something dumb that happened in my life?
Yes.
I don't know if there's any comedy in this, but we'll see. So I'm waiting to get paid for my, writing on the Writers Guild Award.
Yes.
So I get the checks. And they all say non-negotiable on them.
Okay.
As if it were a direct deposit. But I didn't sign up for direct deposit, so I don't know why all my checks say non-negotiable. There's...
I don't even know what that means. Does that mean like they've
there's
already
no
been...
amount written on it? They
oh.
all just say like, it's a check.
Yeah,
that says non-negotiable three times on each check, and
okay.
then you know the stub part has all the information. But I didn't look that closely at it. I was just like, I don't understand. What does this mean?
Yeah.
So I write the guy, and I said all my checks say non-negotiable, and he said, oh, that must be direct deposit. And I was like,
okay,
maybe I did it and I don't remember.
Sure.
And then he comes back, yeah, we checked. You don't have direct deposit. And I said, yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't sign up for that. What you did was when you filled out the W-4, have you filled out a W-4 in the last couple of years?
Yeah, maybe.
It's more, in my defense, it's a little more complicated than it used to be. It used to be like, check how many withholdings you want
right.
here, da, da, da. Now it's a whole math test.
Okay.
It's like the SAT math thing. So I don't know what I did. You know me. I thought I was following directions. I had my entire payment withheld.
Oh, no, Danielle. Can you change it?
So he says you need to call the people who issue the check, cast and crew.
Oh, okay.
And talk to them.
I thought he was going to say you need to call the IRS. And I was like, oh, no,
well,
never forget it.
Hopefully that's not, it's not going to come to that. So you have to call cast and crew. I talked to them this morning. This is the guy saying, I talked to them this morning. The woman said, just call and it'll be okay. And I'm like, did you get the name of who you talked to? Because, you know. No. Okay. Well, here it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I call cast and crew.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And the guy says, oh, just go and fill out the W-4 again. And I said, no, you don't understand. Like, the check was issued.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can't do anything about that. And I'm okay, so I'm driving home because I'm so frantic to get this solved.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, anyway, so I'm on the freeway. The job is very fun, by the way. So I'm driving home and I'm talking to the guy. This is on Tuesday. And he says, I go, look, this is what happened. It's so stupid. It's my fault. I understand that. No, you know, it's no one's fault but mine. But I filled it out wrong. And yeah, there's nothing we can do. People have done this before and there's nothing we can do. To which I thought later, like, well, if people have done this before, maybe find out a way you can fix it if people have made mistakes.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I mean, clearly it was a mistake. I wouldn't ask to have all of my money withheld. And he goes, well, we don't have time to look through every single. And I was like, no, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. I'm just saying, is there a way? So now I'm literally crying because I'm so upset and so mad at myself. And I can't, I just keep going, I can't not get paid for this job. I can't have made zero money for 5 weeks of work. I can't.
Yeah.
So I said, is there someone else I can talk to? They're just going to tell you the same thing. I go, humor me.
Good for you.
Partly because the guy at the production company had talked to someone who said there was a way around it.
Yeah.
So he goes, okay. He's just like, not, I mean, I'm sure I sound like a Karen at this point. I'm just like, let me talk to your
also,
manager.
I'm sure if he was not getting paid for 5 weeks.
Yeah, right.
He wouldn't just be like,
oh, just suck it up.
Yeah.
So he puts me on hold. He says, the manager can't talk to you right now. So I'm like, okay, fine. I hang up. I'm bawling my eyes out because I'm a little baby.
No, I would have. You're not. I would have been bawling my eyes out, too.
And I call Jimmy and I explain what's happening and I'm bawling my eyes out. And he's like, it's OK. We'll get it at the end of the year. It's not like you're not going to get the money. You'll just get it at the end of the year. And I'm like, but if we owe money, then I'm not going to get it at the end of the year. He's like, it's going to be OK. So basically, by the time I got home, I was calmed down.
Right.
And then I had wine at 1:30 in the morning because I was
good for you.
Fucking annoyed. And anyway, then the woman calls me back. His manager.
Okay.
And says, oh, we don't handle that. You have to go back to the person who is at the production company and tell them to talk to the paymaster.
The paymaster?
And I'm like,
it sounds like you're in a Dungeons and Dragons game.
I feel like I'm in Ghostbusters.
Recruit a team and go through the fucking Mordor Valley.
Right, exactly. So I'm like, okay, so there might be a way to fix this? And she said, yeah, he just has to go back that way. And I said, well, then you need to tell Brian that there is a way to fix it because he told me there was absolutely no way to fix it and didn't even want to get you on the phone. Okay, I will talk to him. Thank you for letting me know that. I'm like, why is Brian got to be such a motherfucker?
Brian's an asshole.
Brian's an asshole. So anyway, as of this telling, it is not solved, but I was told to refill out my W-4. So when I get home, I'm going to be refilling it out and not putting anything down. Just give me all the money. And hopefully it'll work out. But let this be a lesson to you. I'm an idiot.
It sounds like you're not, because it sounds like other people do this because...
He did say other people have done it, which made me feel better.
Also, I know you to be a person who's very, like, follow the rules, pay attention to details. So
that's what I... But I also I do sometimes rush through paperwork because I just, like...
Who doesn't? Because it's boring.
I thought I was doing... It said, like, if line A, then do the math on page 3. So I was doing the math. Like, yeah. I was literally, like, I went to the table and I found the numbers. And maybe you're supposed to do that if this is a weekly job that you have forever and not a 4 to 5 week job that is a freelance. You know what
right.
I mean? Whatever it is, I'm against it.
Well, I'm against it. I'm sorry that you went through this. This sounds
It was so
awful.
Stupid. And
stressful.
Stressful.
Would you like to know what they say the new W form is?
Yes.
The new the 2024 form is intended to be easier for employees to fill out and to accurately tell their employees how much federal income tax they want withheld from their pay. Apparently not.
Well, then I'm a bigger idiot.
Well,
I fucked up. I'm not. Look, it was really stupid. I don't know what I thought that number represented. I just thought I was like, oh, here. So, yeah.
This is not as bad because it was less... clearly less money, but it was like that booking.com situation.
I was gonna ask you what happened.
I finally got my money back.
Yay! That makes me so happy.
The hotel that charged me the cancellation fee that I never stayed at, not booking.com, is the one who refunded me.
Good.
But like, it was like,
this has been months.
Months and so many calls. I mean, it was definitely like if I was charging myself a fee, let's say of $50 an hour, I was in the negative for that $300
right.
at that point, because I had made so many calls, so many emails to booking.com, to the Marriott, back and forth of like, I didn't stay there. This was not my mistake. And arguing so much with booking.com that it was like they were trying to say that it was because I had entered my email the wrong way. And I was like, first of all, I don't have to enter my email to booking.com.
But also, if you'd entered it the wrong way, how would they? That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Then they wouldn't have had an account for you.
And I had like screenshot images showing that I had that like it basically to prove that it was not my mistake.
Well, okay,
and I was sending it to them multiple times. Like it was, I was like, why can't, you're losing a customer. Like, I will never use booking.com again. And now I'm telling our whole audience that they shouldn't.
Right.
Because you guys have fucked up so hard.
And they didn't reimburse you. The hotel reimbursed
you. The hotel finally, because they had charged me this cancellation fee for not showing up, that to something I had never gotten a confirmation on, you know, they didn't, booking.com never even made it right. They were just like, we are not gonna.
Oh yeah, just don't use them anymore.
So it's like, well, I'll just never use you again. And we used them for everything, and we travel a lot.
Well, speaking of fun things, should we get into today's topic?
Yes, let's.
Okay. Are you guys ready to learn how to survive a hostile work environment?
I'm doing it right now.
Okay. First of all, as Chris often does, I'm going to give you a quiz.
Ooh.
How big does your company have to be before you have to have human resources? What is the minimum number of employees you have to have before you are mandated to have a human resources department?
I'm going to say 25 people.
That is almost exactly what I was going to say. I was just like 10 to 25.
There's no requirement.
Okay.
For any company to have a human resources department.
Oh.
I was shocked. I thought that at a certain point, if your company is a certain size, you must have one. You do not.
Oh, okay.
It benefits the company in certain circumstances to have one so they can deal with problems, but okay. Okay. If you're the target of offensive or intimidating jokes, Karen, insults, ridicule, or name calling in the office, you may be the victim of a hostile work environment. If someone you work with is using sexual language, guilty, has sexual suggestive pictures of objects at work.
I'm looking around.
Do we have anything? No, I don't think so.
Objects?
Yeah. Like a girly calendar.
Just a big dong.
Yeah, big dong.
Next to your water bottle.
Or has engaged in threats, touching, or physical assaults. These also may create an illegal, hostile work environment. As virtual and hybrid work has increased, it's important to be aware that a hostile work environment can occur through remote employment settings as well.
Jeffrey Toobin.
Yes, Jeffrey Toobin, who was an LA Times writer.
I think a New Yorker.
New York. Okay.
He wrote a bunch of books.
Oh yeah, it wasn't LA. It was New York Times or New Yorker.
He was a New Yorker.
And they were on. They were on a Zoom meeting.
Yes.
And he thought they were on a break or something, and he had his dong out and was. Yeah, I know you don't think he thought they were on a break.
I don't know what he was thinking.
But he had his dong out and he was masturbating, right?
I don't know if he was masturbating. I don't. I do know he had his penis exposed, I believe.
Yeah.
Garen can get us some specifics on this, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't assume the threatening behaviors or communication that happen online are harmless. Virtual harassment, intimidation, and discrimination can constitute a hostile work environment. You know, when you're on Zoom, you can private message people on Zoom. So maybe you're saying some fucked up shit
in
the little chat.
You look stupid today.
Yeah,
you know,
you look
like
stupid
that.
Hot today is also not appropriate.
Not okay.
Okay, what is a hostile work environment? The key to determining what constitutes a hostile work environment often comes down to how often it happens and how much it interferes with your work.
Mm-hmm.
Situations that are merely difficult or annoying, such as personality conflicts, petty slights, annoyances, rudeness, and isolated incidents, do not constitute a hostile work environment, says Deb Muller, CEO for HR Acuity, an employee relations management platform. How about that's your job? You're the employee relations management platform CEO.
I mean, I like the CEO part. Sounds like I have a good salary.
But then it's like just the most boring, awful. Maybe not.
Maybe. I don't know. Who am I protecting? The employer or the employees?
That's a really good point. I don't know.
Because if I'm protecting the employer, I don't think I like it.
To qualify as creating a hostile work environment, the behavior in question must be discriminatory, pervasive, severe, and persistent. So it's you can't be like one guy said something once and you're like, this is a hostile work environment.
Right.
Okay.
But what if it's so awful?
Yeah. Well, I guess.
I
think it's like in the eye of the beholder. It's kind of like, you know it when you see it. It's like porn. You know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Another legal requirement is that the behavior must be something that your employer was aware of but ignored or did not deal with effectively enough to quash it.
Or it is your employer.
Well, that's, yes, obviously that's a problem too. But hopefully even your employer has an HR department, but they don't need to.
They don't need to.
The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission describes harassment as falling under the this category, noting that harassment becomes unlawful when the conduct is severe or pervasive enough to create a work environment that a reasonable person would consider intimidating, hostile, or abusive. Okay. It doesn't matter who the bully is in a hostile work environment. They can be a coworker, supervisor, contractor, client, I thought was interesting.
Oh, wow.
Vendor or visitor who acts in offensive or aggressive ways. But the common theme is this person's pattern of treating others with unwanted behavior, disrespect, or harm over time. You know what I was thinking of is on The Office, remember Michael had a friend. What's his face? I can't remember the guy's name right now. I know his name. Who would come in and was super annoying and obnoxious. Mm-hmm. He didn't work there.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but
Dave,
I...
come on.
Chappelle.
Garen? No. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, I don't. I know who you're talking about, but
I'll think of it in a second. Keckner. David Koechner.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Played the friend.
Yes. Oh, he's perfect at that kind of role.
Yes. Okay. But the common theme is this person's pattern of treating others with unwanted behavior, disrespect, or harm over time. Hostility in the workplace can happen in person, online, physically, sexually, psychologically, through power trips, etc. Unfortunately, a hostile work environment affects more than just one person being targeted. This behavior creates a toxic situation that causes discomfort and distraction for anyone else who sees or hears it. In a survey of 822 Americans employed full-time, 44% reported they've experienced workplace harassment, and 34% left a job because of ongoing harassment. That's a huge, third of people leave their job. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Okay. Remote workers can find themselves dealing with a hostile work environment just like office-based employees can. In a virtual setting, a hostile work environment can emerge from online harassment via different types of online platforms, including email, video conferencing, social media, and chat or messaging apps.
I can imagine it could be even worse because if you think about how much freer people feel
in their
behind
homes,
the walls yes. of, you know, emails and texts and chats to be more... you know, aggressive.
Yes, absolutely. Remote workers should be on the lookout for being treated differently simply because they don't work on site in the company office. So meaning you might be left out of things or harassed because other people are in the office mm-hmm. and you're at home. That's what I thought it meant. I don't know. Okay. If you've identified these qualities in your workplace, here are some strategies to deal with a hostile work environment. Quietly cope.
Oh, fuck that.
Figuring out how to deal with unpleasant situations created by mean coworkers, workplace bullies, and others who may make you feel uncomfortable at work isn't easy. At first, you may feel unsure about whether a situation fits the legal definition of a hostile work environment or if it's simply a matter of figuring out how to deal with rude colleagues.
Yeah, people can be rude. That doesn't mean it's
right,
harassment.
That's the point.
Yes.
It's common to try to cope with the circumstances rather than take any concrete action. If you take an approach of quietly coping, use this time to keep a daily log or other record of what you're experiencing.
Oh, yeah. That's really good advice.
Yeah. So they're not saying just suck it up. They're like, suck it up for the time being, but write everything down.
Yes.
Capture dates and as much detail as possible to document what's happening. Save relevant emails and take photos of evidence that might suggest harassment or a hostile work environment, such as sexually suggestive pictures or objects. If you work remotely, be sure to keep track of evidence that's sent to you electronically or record phone calls or video calls if you feel you're being harassed. Address the situation directly. If a coworker is behind the behavior that you feel is creating a hostile work environment, the next step might be to confront the person directly. I know this sounds weird, but I saw this in more than one place. I wasn't sure that this is the right thing, but more than one site said start with the person themselves.
Hmm.
If you trust your boss and feel you can share the situation with him or her for support, you might be able to enlist a powerful advocate to stop the co-worker's offensive
behavior.
Confront
the person directly and just say, like, please stop doing
this.
Yes.
Yes. Because that's like you showing, you know, well, I went to him. I asked. He didn't stop.
Okay. I would Can I add something to that? Just as a person who has experience with this, I would say, for one, it often is a person who has power over you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So be careful with that.
Yes.
And secondly, if you do that, I would say put it in writing.
Yes.
Not. I would not talk to them and do it because have no
email
proof.
Email them or something.
I would email them and just say, like, I would really like this behavior of these things you've done to me to stop.
That's
I would catalog
a really good
it
idea.
In an email, because that way you have proof.
Yes.
Not only of the things that have happened, and then you have that
you've
sent it.
But that you
it.
Attempt to try, yeah.
Yeah, so that, because legally, if they're saying, if somebody says, well, how come, you know, often in these cases, it's a woman asking a man. Not always.
Right.
Not always. They're going to say, did you ever ask them to stop doing it? Because they like to put the blame on the person who's receiving.
That's why they're saying do this first.
So that's why I'd say put it in writing. Yeah,
right.
Put it in writing.
Very. I had HR tell me I went to them about my manager and what was happening. And they said, anytime they say something that makes you feel bad, you should just put it in a bucket and put it on a shelf.
Oh, for fuck's sake. That's what HR said?
HR is not there to protect you.
Yeah. So when they fired me and I sued them, I was very happy to be able to put that up in her face because she was there in the deposition.
Oh, that's great.
And I said, she told me to put my feelings in a bucket and hide it. They settled.
Here's another option. Leave the company, which apparently 1/3 of people do. If you don't feel you have the support of your supervisor or employer, you may feel compelled to leave the company. Getting to the bottom of a harassment situation or providing a hostile work environment often proving a hostile work environment often requires seeking help from your company's human resource department or even a lawyer. So some people choose to opt out of those taking these routes if they have other options for employment.
Like, it is stressful, I mean, to go through.
And expensive.
I had a lawyer who worked pro bono for me, so I was lucky.
Oh, that's great.
However, it is a lot to put yourself through. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth it because I think you should hold people accountable, but you might not have that in you. And if you were go, I'm in a field in which it's easy for me to just go from this job to this other job and then I don't have to deal with this, I can see that being.
Yeah, I'm always for holding people accountable, but I also haven't been in that position and had my life turned upside down because now my job is lawsuit.
And it does, I mean, it does stay with you forever.
Yeah.
It changes you. It shapes you. Like, you got to decide if that's something you want to take on.
Seek legal or administrative recourse. Before pulling the plug on your job or company, it can sometimes help to enlist assistance from your HR department or seek legal advice outside the company. Your HR department may decide to conduct an investigation into your complaint to determine whether the situation qualifies as a hostile work environment. If it does, HR may take the lead in dealing with the employees who are creating a hostile work environment, whether in a remote work setting or in the office. If your company doesn't take action or on your report of a potentially hostile work environment and you still feel that you have a valid complaint, you may want to call an attorney. If you take the route of seeking administrative or legal recourse, the situation could take time to resolve and will likely be stressful. But if your claim is successful, this may be the most effective way to deal with a hostile work environment. After you report discrimination or other hostile behavior to your leader, it's the employer's responsibility to address the problem and make sure it gets resolved quickly. If the harassment isn't taken care of, the employer will be held responsible for creating a hostile work environment by not taking action or correcting the problem. So at this point, your employer is to blame. When you dread going to work because your employer isn't able or willing to stop the harassment, there are other organizations that can step in, like the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. It was created alongside the Civil Rights Act of 64, which ended legal discrimination in schools, workplaces, and public facilities. The EEOC is a federal agency that upholds laws to make sure employers don't discriminate against their employees. Okay, so you get the idea. Here's a quick note to remember. Reporting a claim to the EEOC means the burden of proof falls on the victim. So you need to prove that the discrimination is severe, unwelcome, and prevents you from career success.
And you can also, I don't want to say this is guaranteed because it can be hard to prove. You can leave a hostile work environment and get unemployment, but you have to be able to prove to the unemployment office that it's a hostile work environment, because that's what I was able to do.
Well, are you ready for a story?
I am so ready.
Okay. You guys know what WeWork is?
Yes.
Okay. I did not watch. I was going to try to watch the made-for-TV movie with Jared Leto and Anne Hathaway.
Star power.
We crashed, but it's on Apple TV, so I didn't get to watch it. However, I have previously watched the documentary, which is okay. I suggest watching because it's pretty freaking fascinating.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, in addition to it filing for bankruptcy and the IPO was delayed and delayed and delayed and the shares crashed and everything, it was also a hostile work environment.
Let's hear it.
A former WeWork employee was sexually assaulted by two fellow WeWork employees at company-wide events.
Jeez Louise.
Incidents enabled by the co-working giant's entitled frat boy culture and new lawsuit charges. This is not news. This is from a couple years ago. Ruby Anaya, 33, who lives in New York City, started working in WeWork's technology department as a director of product management in 2014. A lawsuit filed against the company and its co-founder, Miguel McKelvey, in Manhattan Supreme Court on Thursday says. In 2017, Anaya became WeWork's director of culture, according to the suit. The lawsuit claims Anaya had just left the stage at a company-wide summit event in January 2018 after presenting an award when she tripped over on one of her heels and stumbled as she was trying to navigate the large and alcohol-infused crowd. Anaya put her hand on a man's shoulder to steady herself, then apologized and told the man she'd almost tripped, at which point the man grabbed her waist, pulled her toward him, and forcibly kissed her, the suit claims.
Gross.
She pushed the man away and slapped him, but he just smiled at her, according to the suit. The lawsuit claims WeWork co-founder Adam Newman, that's the nutball who it's all about, asked Anaya whether she drank tequila during her interview with the company when she's interviewing for the job. He's asking her if she drinks tequila, pouring her shots when she said she did in the interview.
No, I'm sorry.
WeWork also stocks free beer at its outposts. That means at the actual WeWork places and has a mandated happy hour for employees every Friday, which employees are pressured to attend, according to the suit. The summits, for which attendance is mandatory, are a huge 3-day alcohol and drug laden party for all employees at the company, the lawsuit claims. More than one WeWork employee in the company's New York office has commented to Anaya that it's only a matter of time until someone gets raped at one of the company's events. The suit says. The suit claims Anaya was fired on August 3rd after she'd voiced disagreement and distress over WeWork's decision not to fire the second WeWork employee who allegedly assaulted her and brought up concerns about women at WeWork not receiving the same pay as men.
A second guy?
Yeah. So there was.
Oh my God.
There was one incident. There was one incident with a slap. And then I can't remember. There's a summit. And then there's like a 3-day, you know, college party or whatever they call it. They call it something.
Yeah.
Where something also happened. A few weeks after Mr. Okay, so wait, let me hold on a second. Okay, then this is another part I just wanted to add. A few weeks after Mr. Newman fired 7% of the staff in 2016, this is just another thing that happened that I thought you would get a kick out of. Anyway, before I get into this, I could not find what happened to this lawsuit. I looked and looked and looked. I don't know what happened to the lawsuit. I'm going to guess they settled.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch the documentary, it's like extremely... It seems extremely valid that all this probably happened and worse.
Okay.
Another woman was pregnant and took maternity leave, and he kept saying, like, oh, how was your vacation? And shit like that. And like, she'd come back and her job would be filled. Like, she was only going for maternity leave. She was going to come back. But then, like, her job would be filled, and then she'd have to have another job that was, like, a lower rank. And, you know, just a bunch of shit happened. Okay.
Jeez.
So, at some point... They had to fire a bunch of people. So a few weeks after Mr. Newman, that's the nutty guy, fired 7% of the staff in 2016, he somberly addressed the issue at an evening all-hands meeting at headquarters, telling attendees the move was tough but necessary to cut costs and the company would be better because of it. Then employees carrying trays of plastic shot glasses filled with tequila came into the room, followed by toasts and drinks. Soon after... Daryl McDaniels of hip-hop group Run DMC entered the room and embraced Mr. Newman and played a set for the staff.
After they just fired a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Hey, let's party.
According to the Wall Street Journal, that set included the hip hop group's 80s hit, It's Tricky. While some people danced, others were stunned and confused.
Yeah, we just got fired.
It's not them who got fired. Oh. It happened a couple of weeks later, but it was like that him addressing it, saying, sorry, I had to fire all your friends. You know, it was necessary.
There.
And then, it's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's going on damage to kid.
Also, it's weird because it's like I'm spending money.
Right, exactly.
To hire this rapper. Also, I can't afford.
And here's free-flowing tequila.
Yeah, I can't afford to pay everybody.
Right, right. So anyway, the whole thing went bankrupt.
What a mess.
Yeah, it's a total. And then he wanted to have a school, like a Wii school. It's just watch the documentary.
Oh
I'm telling
God.
You, it's really interesting.
It definitely gives Garen it gives Yi vibes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Garen will tell us during What Did We Learn where you can find that documentary because it's super interesting.
And who's the guy? Oh, Fyre Festival guy.
Yes.
Right? That guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Of just like
arrogance.
I'm just going to spend money and I've got investors and lots of confidence,
yeah.
But no skill.
The quote from the documentary was something like, if you tell a 30-year-old male that he's Jesus Christ, he's going to believe you. Something like that. That was something like, that was the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Where he walked around like he was this sort of evolved guy.
Oh, gross.
You know, evolved gross. Guy that serves tequila job interviews.
Oh, well, I'm definitely going to watch the documentary.
Yeah.
I don't know about the movie part.
No. I just thought it would be fun and you know, bananas, but...
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, we will
what
be...
What a great... Oh, sorry.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I love that story.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Thanks. I'm sorry you guys have both had to go through harassment at work. Like I said, I've sort of gone through things that in retrospect were like, oh, that's not really cool, but nothing that prevented me from doing my job or nothing that was like persistent or... You know,
it's
that
coming.
Troubling.
It's coming from us to you.
As long as I get paid.
Oh, sorry. That's not.
No. Not getting paid. All right. Well, we will be right back after this.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Christine.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. How was your break?
Oh, fabulous.
You emptied and refilled?
I did, and got water.
Yes.
I'm living the dream. Everything's happening for me.
So we were just talking that apparently on Garen's drive today here. And why don't you walk? Why don't you save yourself money every single day and walk?
Because I don't want to get here and be all sweaty.
You won't be sweaty if you walk in a
fitness.
Get sweaty if I go up a flight of stairs too fast. So I'm a professional gamer, remember? So.
Right, but you're not going to get in better shape. If you started walking, you would get in better shape and you get less sweaty.
I literally said, I was having this exact conversation the other day because I was thinking about getting like a little scooter thing.
What, and, like with a basket? Like you're
an old
person?
No, it's it's like an electric scooter. It goes like 20 miles an hour. But then I'm like, why don't I just walk? It's not that far.
Walk. Yes. Or get your bike fixed.
We're going to encourage you to walk and burn a few calories a day.
I really should. It's not that far.
But
it's really not that far.
To me, it's not so... I mean, yes, it's the getting in shape and getting your heart rate, whatever. But more important, it's saving money.
This is
it's throwing
killing,
money
it's
out
killing,
the door.
The waste of money is killing Danielle.
Yes, you know how I am.
She can't handle
I'll only
it.
Give away my entire paycheck.
You know what we should do? We should calculate.
Tell our guest what I what.
We should calculate how much money Garen would make.
Yes,
if he stopped walked here
driving. Anyway, his Uber driver today gave him a piece of candy, which he thought this could be drugged. I'll wait until I'm out of the Uber before I eat it.
Yeah,
is that did I get the story right?
That is 100% correct.
And it was a strawberry candy, the kind that come in a package that has a picture of a strawberry on it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what candy?
That have no seal. They're just like
they're just
wound,
twisted up.
Twisted.
Uh-huh. It did have an inner wrapper on it as well,
okay.
which was
All
right. intact.
All right.
So I don't think he injected anything into
okay.
it.
Danielle said she wouldn't risk her life unless it was chocolate.
Yeah, I'm not risking my life over here's the candy at the end of a meal at a Italian restaurant.
No.
Take a penny, leave
Pass.
A penny.
I think it, for me. And then I want to hear from our guest what candy she would have. You know what candy I like? It's weird. I like Warheads. I like hard candy that has the really sour stuff inside of it.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I know what a Warhead is, but I don't.
You know what our version would be from our childhood? I think it's called Zazzle, maybe?
I don't know that either.
Did you ever have candy that had like really sour stuff inside of it? It's hard candy on the outside.
Yeah, probably.
And it's kind of sour already. And then when you get to the middle, it has like really sour like powder inside
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of candy that's not chocolate, I guess. Is
That's fine.
Anyway, on the first half of our show, we were talking about how to survive a hostile work environment. And now we're going to talk about how to survive European hostels with Sierra Cato. Sierra,
Amazing.
Welcome.
Hi, Sierra.
So excited to be here.
At risk of sounding like a morning radio show, is there a candy you would risk dying for?
Oh, risk that morning radio show for this.
Yeah.
I believe Nerd's Rope.
Oh,
you are of a generation.
I've never had
sure,
Nerd's
it's a little,
Rope.
It's a step, you know, it's an innovative step beyond Nerds. And then they put them together, kind of glue them on a little. But I got to say, that rope in the center, pretty delicious. And then you know what they came out recently with? I don't know if anybody watched the Super Bowl, but they advertised
yeah.
during that Nerds Clusters.
Oh.
Which I tried, and it's a little bit like the scum at the bottom of the Nerds rope machine,
okay.
you know? That they gathered up and were like, we need to bag this.
Well, what
and
sell is
it.
The rope of the Nerds rope?
You know,
is
it's
it
like
licorice?
A gummy. No, it's I don't know if it has, it's just a sweet. You know, might be like it's red, so it might be cherry, or it might be evoking
it's
something.
Red.
But it, you know, it's red
taste.
It's red taste. Yeah,
it's,
yeah, red number. Whatever.
It's something
number five,
that
yeah.
you
yeah.
can't get in other countries because the dye is so bad
banned.
For you.
That's
yes.
good.
Yes.
Yeah, so
it's
all
the skittle of the Nerd.
Yeah, and Nerds
Perfect.
Are hard, right?
The Nerds are hard, and then yes, the center's kind of gummy, so you get a little bit
okay.
of both. Texture is
gotcha.
Always nice.
So, Sierra is a comedian and writer. Are you currently writing on a show?
I just finished writing on a show that did get announced, but it won't be out till next year, probably. It's
cool.
It's a new Comedy Central show based on a video game called Golden Axe.
Awesome.
It's fantasy, and yeah, it'll be out. I mean, they announced the cast, so it's like Matthew Reese, if you watch
Whoa.
The Americans.
Whoa!
Danny Pudi.
Have we watched
but,
The Americans?
You don't understand.
How much we
yes.
love The Americans.
Oh, really?
You don't,
okay.
Wait, you haven't watched The Americans?
I think I might have seen the pilot, but I should go back and watch it.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Get
this
ready
is
for your
one
life
of the
to change.
Best TV shows.
I mean, I'm unemployed, so I have to fire it up.
Of
yeah,
all time.
I'm ready.
Okay, who else did you say was on the show?
Danny Pudi of
oh,
Community.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I like
and,
Danny Pudi.
Nice.
Mythic Quest, I think he's on now. Anyway,
yep.
Lots of good
That's
folks.
What I thought of when you said it. I
oh,
thought of
yeah.
Mythic Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Is it
That's a fun
like
one.
That? Is it?
Oh, I see. It's, yeah, it's based more on the
An
Sega
actual.
Video game, so
oh.
it's like kind of more fantasy. Fantasy adventure comedy.
Okay.
I have a dumb
okay.
question.
Mm-hmm.
Is this live action?
It's animated.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Did I? Yeah.
You
yeah,
might have already
oh.
said that and I missed it.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I was.
You said Matthew Reese
head.
And I went into my Matthew Reese fantasies.
Well, same.
Yeah, that's,
so is he doing an American accent or his own accent?
He might be doing his own.
His own
I
accent.
Know.
Okay.
I don't know. I but
love him.
He is Welsh.
It is discomforting when you hear him do, after you've watched five seasons
yeah.
or whatever it was of The Americans, and then you see him in an interview with his own voice, it is...
I loved that you used the word discomforting.
I'm not sure if that's the right use of
oh,
that word.
It's absolutely 1,000%
okay.
the right word, and I hardly ever hear anyone use it in the real world, and I'm so delighted to hear you use it.
Yeah, I'm full of nonsense.
Anyway, that's very exciting. Oh, sure. Congratulations. We will look for that.
Mark your calendars. 2025.
I'm not busy that year.
Oh, good. Hey, here we go. We got one.
That's the year my son leaves me and I become an empty nester. Oh, so boy. I have it very well marked already.
She's also not busy that year.
Yeah, I guess.
God.
You gotta
She's busy crying.
I'm going to be crying.
Oh, and watching your show.
Yeah.
Well, good. Hopefully
you know who
time.
Would have enjoyed this? Anyhow, what is your story?
Oh, I'm going to talk a little bit about my time just in a few hostels.
Okay.
I got a beautiful trip around Europe post-graduation. I got to travel with
nice.
My good friend, Daniel. Shout out to Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
And
this is a post-college graduation?
Yeah, yeah. Just we wanted to do, like, you know, your typical Euro trip kind of thing.
Love it.
I had never really been around certain cities, so that was fun. But I was, you know, I had no money. So he had a job lined up at Google, and I was going to be a comedian. So I think I was lower common denominator, so we were going to do some hostels for sure.
Gotcha.
Trying to, you know, save as much as we could. So, so I'll start with the first hostel that we stayed in, which was in Nice, France.
Oh,
Very nice place. No pun intended.
Yeah.
But it's expensive. So I think the hostel was the best option. And the thing about hostels is you can either get a all women room or a co-ed room.
So we were just talking about this in the break because Chris said she had some near misses in a co-ed room.
Oh, yes, yes, okay. yes. So yes, in the co-ed room, it's really just, at least in my experience, I had to do co-ed because my friend is a guy. So we were like, you know, we can't qualify for the all-female room. And it was like all men, right? Like, so it was like me and like seven men. Which it was... I never felt like unsafe.
Okay.
And, you know, I had my friend there and whatever. I think like we would both have the same amount of ability to fight. But, yeah, but, you know, maybe from the surface, he looks more intimidating than I do. So that's good. But, you know, it was definitely like bunk beds with like seven other men.
Yeah.
One of which I know. And then, so this first one, you know, it was fine. It was actually nice, you know, bunk beds. You're kind of, you like tie your luggage or you try to lock it next to you or tie it to your ankle. So like nobody's going to take it, but we're all suspecting each other. So
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we're all like on the lookout here. But yeah, so a lot of, I think, single men traveling was kind of the typical guest here. And the tough part probably is the bathroom. Cause in the morning, you know, it's crowded. Everybody wants to use the bathroom for some reason. No. And so some of them, you know, take a shower. And so, like, the floor is a little wet.
Okay.
And everybody's brushing their teeth, whatever. And, you know, I was figuring it out. And I had come out of college, so I'm used to sharing a bathroom with a bunch of people anyway. So it's not the craziest thing. Maybe couldn't do it now. But
yeah.
The bathroom's a little flooded. And I noticed, like, a little bit of, like, blood in the water.
Oh, no.
There's blood in the water.
Wait, in the water in the sink or on the ground?
On the ground.
Oh boy.
Where the feet are.
Can I ask a question? Did you have like any kind of flip-flop shower shoe or?
I think I at least had a flip-flop, but it wasn't maybe walled, you know, like I think it's still like a flat thing.
Yeah,
the water's still
you're still getting
contact exposed
so to that the blood water. Great.
Yeah, a little bit of blood getting a little bit
of
blood.
Oh my God, throw up.
A little nasty. I found the culprit was like a guy had cut his foot and he was just walking around in the water. I'm like, you got open wound here.
Yeah, you're going to get
hepatitis.
In the
loose water, my friend.
Jeez Louise.
So anyway, that was that was the worst part of that. But then, you know, we moved on. You know, I think I was only there for like a couple nights, maybe one. But the next place we went was Barcelona. Beautiful.
Ooh, yeah.
Wonderful. So stayed in another hostel there. And this one was kind of more of like a community feeling hostel, you know. I think they had like movie nights and they're like, oh, you know, and then people do cooking here if you want to share your food, do a potluck kind of thing.
Okay.
But we were going to be there for a couple nights again, so I was kind of like, I'm not trying to like make
not
friends.
Join that
cult. I'm okay, you know.
You didn't come on the show to make friends.
Exactly. Yeah. Very bachelor of me. So then, you know, I kind of were walking around. It's nice. They kind of have an outdoor courtyard and I noticed like I was like, oh, maybe they had like the potluck or something. There's like a lot of stuff on the ground. And I was like, maybe it's chili. I wasn't really sure. Like
chili?
Kind of miscellaneous piles of chili on the ground.
On the ground.
That I was kind of like, okay. I don't know. I was like, maybe they're just spilling a lot and it's partying and I had a community. I don't know what's going on. So I don't really clock what's going on. Kind of move on. We were going and seeing the sights and stuff. And then we come back. we come back to the hostel and we decide to watch Game of Thrones because that was kind of when Game of Thrones was still going. Yeah. We didn't want to miss the next episode. It's very exciting. So we're watching that and people are kind of partying around us, okay. I think. And then I notice like very close, you know, probably where Christine, you're sitting to me, which is like a few feet. Somebody's like throwing up into a trash can because the trash can's right there. So we're kind of like trying to watch Game of Thrones.
Inside the house? Really, inside the hostel?
Yeah, it's like in the living room of the hostel.
The big open room.
Right, yeah, right. So yeah. It's luckily not like where people are sleeping. But anyway, he's throwing up pretty a lot in the trash can. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know him. I'm not sure. Like, I think he's okay, but he's probably just drunk, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
He should probably go outside.
Get that out. Yeah, sure. That would be nice.
Yeah, go to the chili, sir.
So this is the thing. Then I connect the dots that I don't think it was chili out there in the courtyard. I think it was throw up.
Yes, I think so.
So in my brain, I was like, oh, chili. How harmless. Oh. But it was probably piles of throw up that were left there for a bit.
Thank God it was throw up.
Thank God, I know. If it was miscellaneous chili, then I'd be concerned. But this was...
That's even more terrifying.
Yeah.
Miscellaneous chili.
This was the chili that, you know, had been processed a little bit and then thrown up. So yeah. So then I was like, okay, that's what's going on here. Okay, we're getting
a little
wise.
Do you stay there? You stay... Yeah. I mean, you stay watching the show while someone's throwing up next to you?
I guess so, because we thought, like, surely this will end...
This
and
is
I
Game
did.
Of
and it's yeah. Game of Thrones.
That show is pretty graphic. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what caused him to throw up.
Oh, you're right. He saw the beheadings or whatever.
It was the Red Wedding episode. Oof. Did he eventually leave? Or, I mean, was there like some kind of, do you think it was drinking related throwing up? I'm guessing because it's a hostel and it's a lot of young people that he's just like partying.
Right. Yeah. Because I think there was music. So the feel was like there's partying happening. We're kind of off in our little corner trying to like enjoy our show.
You're at like rave hostel. You're sure, at like a hostel that's having a rave. Yeah. And you guys are watching.
We're like, please can you keep it down. I'm trying to see what Khaleesi is up to. It was, that was the feel, I think, was like, maybe he just drank a little too much. He was trying to get back out there. So he's trying to evacuate and go. So then the final chapter of this is, you know, we move on from Barcelona and we're in Florence, which is, again, wonderful.
Beautiful.
And we decide to shell out for a little Airbnb, which is great. So we've kind of had our hostel run for a bit. So and it's honestly, it was more affordable there. So that was part of the decision. And then, you know, I will say on the bus to this Airbnb, I got a little period cramp situation. Mm. It was unpleasant. And I will say I don't get them that much. But when I get them, they do come. You know, they do not miss. So that was like a little tough getting there. But finally we're there. It was like, relaxed.
Would you say your Aunt Florence came?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
She's too young to know that, right? You don't know Aunt Flo, right?
Oh. I mean, I got the reference, but okay. I don't know if I...
It was a horrible,
is there a specific
horrible
character to it?
No, it was because you're in Florence, and I was trying to make
it. No, I got the Florence. No, I flow.
It was, you guys can just kick me in the face for that. That was terrible.
Should we?
Yes.
No.
I withhold my paycheck.
All right, withheld.
I just want, I feel like sometimes when people do reference or something, then I like, I'm not
throwing out. Okay. I'll save all my 1950s references for another episode.
Beautiful. invite me, please. But yeah, I think, you know, it was a nice Airbnb where the host came and like kind of showed us around. And one of his main things, he was very sweet, you know, a little bit language barrier, right? Like we didn't speak Italian, he didn't speak English, but he was like, hey, come to my restaurant. Like apparently he owns some restaurant nearby. Oh. Please come to my restaurant. You know, we have specials, like, and he gave us business card. We're like, oh yeah, that sounds great, you know? But we were kind of, we had things planned and I think getting swept up in like seeing all the sights and then eating. I think we just didn't make it to the restaurant and we were going to leave the next morning. So we were kind of bummed, but it didn't happen.
Okay.
So we're getting ready for bed and there's like kind of it's like, you know, 1 a.m. I think we go to bed and then we're awoken by banging on the door and like screaming and banging on the door like for a long time. We're like, oh my God, what's going on? And it's kind of like surrounding us. Like it almost feels like there's some on the front door and then some on the side of the other side
so
of the
scary.
Building. So we're like, we're under attack. We go to the kitchen. We get the kitchen knives.
We're
like, okay, we're ready to defend. And we're like, not sure what's going on. And the door is kind of like a glass door too. I mean, it's obscured, but it's like, it doesn't seem very like defense secure.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh God. And I think part of my brain is like, we didn't go to the restaurant. You know,
he's coming to kill us.
Yeah. He was waiting for us to come.
I love that's where your
brain was. Yeah, he was sitting there, you know, with the wine bottle and waiting for us to sit with the two seats, and we didn't show up, and now he's here, come to seek his revenge. So anyway, we like message him on the app to be like, hey, you know what, is that you? Like, what's going on? Like, and no response. But then luckily the bang kind of like subsides, and we're like, okay, I think we're safe. And we go back to bed, and then I put the knife kind of in the bedstand like, okay, just in case, you know, we're ready. But then nothing, you know, we're good. And then we wake up the next morning, everything's fine. We check our messages. Oh, he's like, oh no, sorry. I don't know what that was. You know, so there's college students. Maybe they were playing a prank or something.
Somebody's mad at him probably. He owes the mafia money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, he put us up here so that we would get killed. And then he gets spared. You know, who knows? But anyway, and so then it was all, I guess, a misunderstanding
hashtag
prank.
Not Italians or mobsters.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
But you're this right. guy is.
Not all. That one.
Yeah. Sure, yes. Just him, but not everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, it turned out to be fine. But after we left, we realized I did leave the knife in the bedstand. So he will find that eventually.
Oh, that's hysterical.
He'll be like, those crazy Americans,
they
sleep. Well, they live somewhere so dangerous. They probably all sleep with knives in their beds.
Right, right.
In the U.S. because it's so scary there.
Yeah, normally it's gun under the pillow in the U.S., so it has to be knife.
He's like,
oh,
she didn't have her gun, so.
Right.
Wait, I'm going to propose something.
Yeah.
It was exactly what you thought. It was him. He hired some local hooligans to scare the crap out of you.
It worked.
Because he was resentful.
Yeah, he was resentful that you didn't
show you add
to
show
his,
up.
Yeah, you didn't show up to his restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it worked. If I ever go back, that's first stop I'm making, I think, is that restaurant.
I would also propose that your friend with the incoming Google money could have fucking
fronted
up
a little
at
more.
Some a little better places.
He paid for more things, I think, over the course. Yeah, But sure, I think it was more lower common denominator with me, with the strange.
That's so
hostels.
Scary. Imagine that happening in your own house, and now imagine it happening in a foreign country.
Fair.
Yeah.
It was extra, like, the level of, like, oh, shoot, this is where Amanda Knox happened, or, you know, right? Like, this is,
she's
there's always
back.
Something. Oh, she's back. Yeah.
Did it tempt you to, like, go outside or have your friend go outside to look what was going on, or you were just this is stupid? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think in those scenarios, because I feel like I've had similar things happen even here, like where some, you know, you think you hear somebody at the door and it's really late and you're worried. I'm like, you know, I'm like, retreat into the back corner, hold like a tripod as a weapon. Cause I have nothing. you know, it's very, I think, yeah, I'm much more of the like, if I have anything that, if I, like, I also think of, if I were to have a gun, which I do not, like, my enemy just has a gun because they would just take it from me. I'm not good at this.
Well, statistically, you're also right.
They would just have it. I'm like, oh, great. I armed them.
I have a gun. My enemy has a gun. That's very funny.
So.
Oh, my gosh. And then was that your last night in Europe?
We did a little bit beyond that. So luckily that wasn't the most. Yeah, we didn't leave scarred. But that was the most memorable maybe.
Oh, my God. Did it affect like how you travel from now on?
Oh,
from then on,
there were some other things that happened throughout. I'm realizing now that I've kind of blocked out of my memory.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, like, I think there was another Airbnb where like the door didn't open, so we had to take the door off the hinges.
Come on.
And get inside, and then I slept like right inside the open door.
With what?
So it was very there was a lot of shenanigans that were going on.
So wait a second, you go to an Airbnb. You call. Yeah. You can't get in because the guy didn't leave the key, or
so,
the key's
sorry.
Not working.
The key was fine, but at some point we came back and it worked. It, like the door, it was a weird door mechanic thing where the knob would turn, but like the whole thing wouldn't turn or something. And even the owner came and was trying to help us, and because she lived like upstairs,
okay.
And they're like, I guess we'll just have to like open it, but we'll have to take it off the hinges, and then it'll be open tonight, but. You know, we'll fix it, I guess, after you leave. But so it was
funny.
Like, okay,
so
well,
you slept
so
with a knife,
barricaded a little, But it was like, okay, I guess this is, you know, where are we gonna go? But
that's hysterical.
So there were always things, and I think, you know, it's like that was an Airbnb, you know, again, too, where we were splitting with another friend who was with us. So it felt like, I guess this could just happen at any time. It wasn't like the reviews said, hey, door doesn't work.
Right.
And we're like, hey, I guess we gotta.
Right. And then you leave a review. Everything was great, except we had to take the door off the hinge.
Yeah. I don't think we left reviews because we were like on the go, you know, I've forgotten now.
Also, so you have favor. To, when you leave a review, like, you can be badly reviewed as a guest and then they don't want to rent to you. So you want to, we're always a little careful about being negative in our reviews because we don't want to be banned as guests.
So Sierra, where can people watch your stand-up?
Oh yes. So I have a new special out.
Oh great.
It's called Funt. It is out on demand on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, YouTube, and out as like an album, like just audio if you're just more into the listening stuff on music and Spotify and Tidal.
We will link to that and we'll watch it. That's so cool. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, yeah. And very, you know, it's fun. I'm glad it's out there, but I'm like so done with all those jokes. So
okay.
yeah.
You're like, don't make me hear that.
I will not watch it, but you guys can.
Would not recommend. No, that's hysterical. Well, thank you so much for being here. That was a great story.
Oh, yes.
And we will be right back with what did we learn today?
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Christine.
Yes, Danielle.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today? Holy moly, it's a long one.
Yes.
Deer in the road, never swerve the wheel. This is one of the last things you should do as it increases the likelihood of hitting a tree, ditch, or even another vehicle. Limiting your speed, applying firm but gentle braking, and yes, hitting the deer straight on is widely accepted as the best way to avoid injury.
That's what I did.
Yeah, but...
So you're right.
Yeah.
I did. I applied the brakes... And I did not smear the deer.
On October 19th, 2020, during the first year of the COVID-19 pandemic, Jeffrey Toobin, was suspended from The New Yorker after he masturbated on camera during a Zoom video call between New Yorker and WYNC radio staffers. CNN said Toobin has asked for some time off while he deals with a personal issue, which we have granted.
Over masturbating? Is that his personal issue?
I think the personal issue is humiliating yourself.
Or just and his strong attraction to Terry Gross? Isn't she WYNC?
I don't know. Is she? Isn't she? I don't know. I don't know. Any aspect of your job is potential for workplace harassment. You do not have to put up with it. Contact HR, your state labor department, or a lawyer. Todd Packer, David Koechner, is shown to be the best friend of protagonist Michael Scott, we're talking about The Office, who describes him as his BFF. However, the friendship is often very one-sided, as Packer often treats Michael merely as a lackey or even a victim in his schemes. Do not be afraid to stand up for yourself and ask for the behavior to stop. Document everything.
Yeah, Garen. You can always ask us to stop.
All my issues are firmly documented on a weekly basis and released to the public.
The 2018 claim against WeWork filed with explosive allegations of drug use, sexual harassment, and pay discrimination was apparently settled with a $2 million cash payout. I am sorry I did not find that. Thank you, Garen, for finding it.
It was very hard.
Was it the one I was talking about with that woman?
Because it's not...
Wow.
It never really went to court, it sounds like. It sounds like they paid her out immediately.
Yeah.
Man, next time I'm going to get sexually harassed by someone with more money.
Yeah, do it with a big company. Yeah. That's what you should do. Available on Hulu, WeWork, the making and breaking of a $47 billion unicorn, takes a look at the community-centric ideal that sent the little co-working venture skyrocketing, and then investigates what was really going on behind the scenes. That's the documentary.
The documentary. Okay.
Described as a hilarious and loving homage to Sega's 1989 video game series Golden Axe, from executive producers Mike McCann and Joe Chandler.
Never heard of them.
You didn't say what the name of the show is. Follows veteran warriors Axe Battle, Tyrus Flair, and Gilius Thunderhead.
I think it's called Axe Battle.
Okay.
Golden Axe.
Golden Axe. Sorry. As they once again battle to save Yuria from the evil giant Death Adder, who just won't seem to stay dead. Fortunately, this time they have the inexperienced and underprepared Hampton Squib on their side. Do you know this game series, Golden Axe?
Absolutely do.
Oh.
That is of my generation.
Okay.
But I did not know they're doing a show, so I'm kind of excited.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
All right. Well,
do they ever make shows now that aren't based on video games or
sure
superheroes?
Seems to be the trend right now. A lot of Fallout.
Are any shows made that are just from somebody's idea that came up in their head?
You mean
it's
an original
IP.
Idea?
Yeah. No. That doesn't happen anymore, right? That's done.
This day and
we're
age.
Past that.
People come up with them, but they're not bought.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I didn't think so.
It's all intellectual property.
It is dumb. That's what I say.
It is dumb. Did you want to tell your story that you were going to tell?
No.
You're going to save it?
I'm going to save it. I'm going to make you all wait.
That sounds good.
Teaser.
All right. Well, we covered a lot today.
We did a good job. Pat ourselves on the back, guys.
Boom, boom.
This is one of our best episodes of all time.
It sure is.
That's what the gods told me.
Oh. What? Did you just have a moment?
The gods talk
they're
to me.
They're talking to you? Yeah. Oh, no. Is this another side effect of a colonoscopy?
It might be.
Okay.
And I haven't pooped yet.
Seriously?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Wait, since what?
I know.
How long has it been?
Thursday.
A week?
8 days.
Wait a second. Chris, what?
Yeah, it's been 8 days.
Because of the colonoscopy, I'm taking it, right?
Yeah.
But what did they shove a sponge up there? I don't understand.
Remember last time it was longer.
But that's not normal. Something went wrong. Did they build a wall?
Did they leave a camera up there?
Guys, this happened last time.
But last time something went wrong.
I think what goes wrong is my body.
Your body is.
After I have this
invasion?
Huge explosion of, you know what happens. I don't have to get graphic. My body goes, all right, well, she's done for a while.
Have you been eating food that would normally cause you to?
Yeah, I have good veggies and lettuces and I had a big salad yesterday, with kale,
I'm
quinoa.
So sorry. I can't imagine.
I had a smoothie.
So does it feel like you want to go?
I feel fine. No.
Okay.
I don't know where it's all going.
Okay.
Do my boobs look bigger?
Maybe it's
going up here.
You've got fiber-filled boobs.
Yeah. Maybe they're getting bigger.
Your boobs are constipated.
I might. They look glorious.
They really do. Holy ghost.
Does my face look fuller?
No.
I don't know where it is. I mean, it's not like I'm not bloated. I feel fine.
But you're not eating. You're eating like mainly salads and stuff.
Yeah, that should make you go to the bathroom, Gary.
I'm eating normal stuff like I normally do. I have oatmeal or cereal for breakfast. I drink coffee. I have, some kind of healthy lunch and have a normal dinner.
I'm completely flabbergasted.
I mean, you don't seem ill or anything, so I'm guessing it's
fine. What if I drop dead right now? You guys will go, now we know.
As long as it's not
candy.
In an Uber.
Oh, they'll be feeding me warheads left and right.
Yep.
I'll go. It's fine.
Okay.
You would know. Your body would, know.
Yeah. Her body is telling her something's wrong. It's not.
But it's not alerting her. It's just taking its time getting back to her.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not like lying around cramping and crying or something.
Okay.
It's just like.
All right.
Whatever. I guess it's just all staying in.
All right. Well, let us know. Keep us updated.
We'll do.
And
wait for that text. Guys, it finally happened.
I'll text you while it's happening.
Oh, my God.
With a GIF.
Oh, my God.
My brother does that. He will be on the phone when he's in the bathroom.
No.
And you won't know it. And then if you're talking to him, and you'll hear, not something happening, but you know how you can tell when someone are in a room that is
not
different to the normal?
That it's the bathroom?
Like it echoes or something? Yes. Like, are you in the bathroom? And he's like, yeah. I'm like,
that's so
goodbye.
Gross.
No,
goodbye.
No.
Inappropriate.
Pass.
No, pass.
Yes.
Hard pass.
No, thank you.
Hard pass. It's going to be a hard pass.
It is going to be a hard pass, guys.
All right.
Don't worry. I'll give you all the details in the text.
Thanks. Looking forward to it. Until next time,
remain calm.